You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 22nd of February 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I think we're going to concentrate on immigration today, and that is because a poll has just been taken, and unsurprisingly, the British public are actually in agreement with Patriotic Alternative about the immigration levels. And of course, we're continually being told by politicians, MPs from either the Conservative Party or the Labour Party, whenever Patriotic Alternative put on a protest, we're told, oh, the public don't support them. We don't support your hate here. And of course, it's not hate. They accuse Patriotic Alternative of trying to frighten the migrants or targeting the migrants. And of course, the migrants aren't targeted at all. We're not criticising the migrants for wanting to come to Britain, but soft touch Britain. We are targeting these MPs, targeting the government for their lax immigration policy. And they claim that groups that are against immigration are far right, right-wing extremists. They shouldn't be given a platform. And yet the majority of the British people support lowering immigration. And that's just been proved with this poll. The British people are more united on immigration being too high than on any other issue, polls suggest. But their political class are continuing to give them more and more and more and more of it. Boris Johnson campaigned on a platform of bringing immigration down, and under Boris Johnson's watch, 1 million visas were given out. And those weren't individual visas. Some of them could have been family visas. You have people that come over for university, particularly from India, and they bring two or three other people with them. Apparently they need their family with them when they are studying, unlike British students who are quite happy and glad to actually get away from their family to go and stay at university. So we've seen a huge increase in immigration. And instead of highlighting that, of course, we have this highlighting of illegal immigration, which is much smaller. 40,000 people roughly came over last year in these little boats. And that's really nothing compared to the 1 million visas that were given out that could actually mean it was 3 million people or so that actually turned up in the country. We just don't know. But 400,000 is a much smaller, 40,000 rather, is a much smaller percentage. But that's what people are sort of concentrating on, because that's what's in the news. But it's the legal immigration that is much more of a problem. Unheard Britain polling released on Monday showed every single one of the 632 parliamentary constituencies or electoral districts in Britain, bar one, saw more agreement with the statement immigration levels are too high than disagreement. So that's every constituency, bar one. So all of those people are not getting the representation that they need in Parliament. And the one party that is committed to getting immigration down and ensuring that the Indigenous British people remain a supermajority in the country, the Electoral Commission are refusing to give them political party status. So the one group in the country that does actually represent every electoral district bar one, so effectively over 99% of the country, the one party or the one group, the one community that is committed to actually doing what these constituencies want is not allowed to be a political party. It's like the game is rigged, isn't it? The sole exception, that's out of these constituencies, was a constituency in, guess where, Bristol. And I guessed, I mean, I thought perhaps it could have been Brighton, but it was Bristol, the English city where, perhaps not coincidentally, a Black Lives Matter mob kicked off the statue wars in 2020 by tearing down a historic memorial of Edward Colston with the backing of the local police leaders. And we do have a huge Antifa presence in Bristol. I mean, it's probably tied with Liverpool and Brighton for the most left-wing cities in the country. We recently saw in Liverpool that there was this riot that took place in a very, very left-wing area in Liverpool, and a riot took place against these asylum seekers, alleged asylum seekers, being placed in a hotel there. This is in Knowsley, because a video came out showing one of these alleged asylum seekers propositioning a 15-year-old schoolgirl. That's what resulted in this protest. It was left-wingers there. It's all full of left-wingers. But even they don't want this immigration to continue. And even they were smeared with the term far right. Of course, first off, the mainstream media tried to pin the blame onto Patriotic Alternative. And Laura Towler sent out an official response to that, saying we were not involved in it, and there is no proof that Patriotic Alternative were involved in it. So they took back their accusation, and they changed it to calling the people there far right. But that didn't stop politicians claiming that Patriotic Alternative were involved in that. And not only with the Electoral Commission trying to prevent Patriotic Alternative from being a political party, you now have MPs in Parliament trying to prevent Patriotic Alternative from being able to say anything online. And this comes on top of calls last year or the year before, Dame Sarah Khan calling for laws to be changed so that Patriotic Alternative could be banned, because everything they were saying was lawful, which is like saying somebody is going at 25 miles per hour in a 30 mile an hour zone, so we have to change the zone to 20 mile an hour so that what they're doing is illegal. Patriotic Alternative do everything above board and legally, and they represent the majority views of the population, as has been proved here. And there is no parliamentary representation for these people. Everybody in the country, the majority of the people in the country, who want immigration to be brought down. Interestingly, this constituency, Bristol, also polled as the most supportive of controversial gender self-ID legislation, and it was the most unhappy about Brexit. So it's pretty much the part of the country that is the most progressive and most supports the government on issues such as immigration, and the Scottish government on issues on such as self-ID legislation. And yet the people in Bristol will all think that they're revolutionaries and that they're fighting the system. And in actual fact, they're the biggest supporters of the system and the biggest supporters of the mainstream politicians, whilst at the same time claiming to be against them. Agreement that immigration levels are too high was also surprisingly consistent across the political spectrum. So it wasn't just all of these constituencies that all think immigration levels are too high. It was also all the members of all the political parties as well that thought that. 80% of people who voted for the Brexit Party, now Reform UK, in the 2019 general election concurred with the statement, along with 72% of people who voted for the Conservative Party. And of course, you can say, well, those are right-wing parties, so it's not really a surprise that such high numbers voted for them. But we'll also see high numbers also voted to bring immigration down in the left-wing parties. The Conservative Party has promised substantial reductions in net immigration in every general election campaign since 2010. So for the last 13 years, the Conservatives have been promising to do what the public want and reduce immigration, but they have never delivered that, compared to 7% and 10% in those parties that disagreed with the statement. So only 7% of the Conservative Party, or 7% of the Brexit Party, 10% of the Conservative Party members disagreed that immigration needed to be brought down. So a tiny, tiny percentage. But as I was saying, it's not just supposedly right-wing parties like the Conservative Party and the Brexit Party, who have 72% and 80% of their members want immigration brought down. A majority or substantial plurality of all the left-wing opposition parties in the House of Commons also agreed, possibly to the surprise of those parties, often very strongly pro-immigration politicians. And this is very surprising. You think 72% of the people who voted for the Conservative Party say that immigration is too high and it needs to be brought down. And from that, you would imagine that a left-wing party like Plaid Cymru, it would be a very different percentage, but it's not. 68% of people who voted for the Welsh left separatist Plaid Cymru Party, whose Commons leader Liz Savile-Roberts has previously called for her small country to be transformed into a nation of sanctuary for refugees, think immigration is already too high as things stand. For example, suggesting the separatist grassroots is extremely poorly represented by its politicians. Extremely poorly represented. I mean, and it's not just Plaid Cymru. You've got the Wales Party, the Labour Party, rather, in Wales as well, with Drakeford. He wants Wales to be turned into a nation of sanctuary. He wants more immigration. And like you can see here, even the supporters of these left-wing parties, they're pretty much on the same level of agreement with the members of the Conservative Party that immigration needs to be brought down. The far-left Green Party, even more remarkably, has many more voters who agree that immigration is too high than disagree, at 47% saying it is too high and 29% disagreeing, with a similar split in the supposedly centre-left Labour Party, which currently looks set to become the next British government, and they have 45% who think immigration is too high to 31% who disagree with that statement. So with the Green Party and the Labour Party, it's not quite 50%, but it is still pretty much almost double the number of people that disagree. And as I must say, I am really quite pleased to see that it's 68% in the people that support Plaid Cymru. I mean, they are an extreme left-wing party, and yet that, and a lot of people in Wales vote for them, and that really shows that the Welsh do not want to be flooded with immigration. They want Wales to remain Welsh. I'm very pleased at that. Let's have a look at what the Scottish National Party members say. Scotland's left separatist Scottish National Party, which has a pro-immigration, anti-Brexit stance despite its notional support for national identity and sovereignty, also appears to be failing to represent its voters, with 44% agreeing that immigration is too high against 38% who disagree. So that, they're fairly similar, aren't they? More people think it's too high, and just a little bit smaller number disagree. So when you measure the SNP with their 44% against Plaid Cymru with 68%, I think we can see there that the Welsh are pretty much almost twice as patriotic as the Scots, I would say. Perhaps that's a controversial statement to make, but I mean, it does look as if the Welsh are more patriotic, and or by that I mean more against immigration, more against the dilution of the national spirit of the country than the Scots do. And remember, these are both sort of fairly similar parties that claim to actually be representing the ethnicity of the country that they're from, and they are left-wing parties. Even the Liberal Democrats, a party defined by their identity as a bastion of middle-class liberal leftism, do not enjoy a voter base that supports its pro-immigration agenda, with 41% agreeing that levels are too high against 29% who disagree. And you can see here, it's all of these parties. It's a majority of the people, or a larger group of people as members of that party, than the number which disagree with that statement. It's the same for every party in the country. It's the same for every constituency in the country, apart from one extreme left constituency, which means even these other left-wing constituencies like Liverpool and Brighton, The majority of the people there want to see immigration brought down. All of this suggests that unless a new anti-immigration party can somehow achieve the nigh impossible and sweep the boards in the next general election, British voters will not have representatives who reflect their views on immigration, whoever enters government. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to stitch it up so that nobody else can actually even form a political party that is against immigration. That's what the Electoral Commission are doing at the moment. And it basically means that you don't have representation. It's that the people that are supposed to be representing us in government are not doing things to our best interests. Of course, they will say, well, we're trying to do things to your best interests, and you don't really understand all the factors that play into this, and immigration is actually good for us. And the only way they could say that is possibly by looking at the economy and by saying, well, the more people you have, the more money they need to spend, the more money they need to create. But the problem is the money that they create and the money that gets spent, the money just gets siphoned off to their people group in the countries that they come from. And the money just goes to their extended family, doesn't it? All the money that they create just goes to their extended family when you think about it. A certain amount of it will circulate within the country, but a certain amount will also leave the country. Plus, then you've got the schooling, you've got the medical costs, you've got the cost of building houses. It means you've got to build more and more houses in Britain. It means that pretty much every new house that is being built is actually being built for somebody who has just migrated here. So all of that becomes a net loss. Then you've got the dilution of the culture, of the indigenous British culture. Then you've got the small amount of intermixing that goes on, which means that the offspring are then no longer indigenous British. The offspring are then belonging to a different group. So you've got all of these issues that the MPs, the people in government, they just don't actually take any of these issues into account. They just look at the economy and they think, well, this will somehow be a boost to the economy. They also try to say, well, because people of European extraction are no longer producing enough children to replace themselves, we have to replace them with people from elsewhere. And of course, Hungary just proves that you don't have to do that. The way that we could deal with that is the government could offer incentives for the indigenous British people to produce more children. They could give them tax breaks. They could give them financial sums, all sorts of ways that you could encourage British people to have more children. You could also encourage them to stay together and give them tax breaks for marriage, tax breaks for having children, try to make the child at home as stable as possible, rather than giving all these incentives for people to live apart and to be divorced because they'll get more tax breaks, because they'll get more benefits, all that sort of thing. I mean, this all ties into this. And in Hungary, they have said that the rest of Europe is trying to solve this problem by importing other people groups to replace the numbers of the increasingly shrinking indigenous people group. And what that's effectively doing is just replacing one people group with another people group. Which isn't going to solve these problems. It just means you're going to have another people group that eventually becomes the majority in a country that was built and put together by the original people group. And it means that democracy isn't going to function correctly. If you look at the people that came up with the idea of democracy, if you look at the Greeks and what was written about this, and they make it quite clear that that democracy will only work if you have one particular ethnicity. If you have more than one ethnicity, if you have more than one people group, and they then get into the positions of power, they're going to be doing what is best for their people group, aren't they? I mean, it's just common sense. They're going to want to do what's best for their family. And then you're going to have various different competing groups that are going to be pulling the country in opposite directions. You're going to have, for instance, you're going to have one group, we'll say the Muslims. You'll have them, and they will be wanting to ban images of Muhammad. They won't be very happy about any images, in fact, because Islam views images as idolatry. And then you're going to have another group. You're going to have the liberal types who want to be able to have cartoon pictures of Muhammad. who want to have free speech, and you're going to have the country being pulled in two different directions. You're going to have two communities there that are at complete loggerheads. I mean, it doesn't get so bad over here in Britain, but if you look over in Scandinavia, you've got one portion of the population that wants to be able to burn the Quran, because you should be able to burn a book without other people getting all upset about it. If you purchased the book, you didn't steal the book, you purchased the book, you should be able to do whatever you like with it. And then, but when that happens in Sweden or in Denmark, we see that there is mass riots and people burning things down. And this just shows you what happens when you have two different types of people, two different people groups living within one country. One people group wants the country to go in one direction, and the other people group want it to go in the other direction. And the end result of that is civil strife, civil discord. Could end up even having a civil war at the end of it. And it's all goes down to this idea of multiculturalism. And this also, I guess, plays out as well within the parliament. If you've got different people groups represented in parliament, I mean, you could look at David Lammy, who's very proud of his black heritage. And if you listen to what he says, I mean, he is mostly concerned with the issues that face young black men or young black women. That's what he is most concerned with, and that's what he should be most concerned with. But you can't say that the whole country has to be most concerned with that, because you're also going to have people of European extraction or people of British extraction, and they're going to be wanting to do what is best for their people group. And what's best for their people group might not be what is best for the black people group. If you look at our system of law and order and our system of justice, which is effectively the same system that they have in America, you'll see that the black community say that, well, this service does not work for us very well. We feel that we are unjustly penalized by this police service. We feel that the way that arrests are carried out, it leads to black people ended up dying because the police are not able to deal with the way that black people respond to being arrested or respond to being pulled over. They respond to it in a way that doesn't work for our community, because so many of us end up being killed. And that's the main issue of Black Lives Matter. All of this comes down to multiculturalism and the fact that different people groups have different ways of doing things, and they also have their own interests. So democracy itself cannot function in that way when you have a democratic parliament that is made up of representatives of these different groups. And you could see that it, in the extreme cases, if you had, say, 40 different people groups in the parliament that were evenly distributed, and each one of them would be wanting to do what's best for their people group, and you just have complete inertia, wouldn't you, of parliament. It would just negate everything out. Every time that there was a vote, then the people group would be wanting to do what's best for their people group, and the others would be voting against it because it would be harmful to their people group. And you would just end up with inertia, or you would end up going in one direction, then another direction, then another direction. And if you just had one people group, it would mean that the country was all pulling together, all in one direction, all doing what is best for that one people group. And then your democracy would function perfectly, wouldn't it? You would then have the wisdom of crowds, and you could put things to the vote, and more people that voted for it, they would just be voting for what's best for their people group. And they wouldn't have this challenging vote from the other side of people that wanted to do what was best for their people group. Instead, multiculturalism has to be the most dysfunctional system ever thought of. And the more immigration we have, the more multiculturalism there is. And it seems that the British people, they instinctively know that this high immigration is not any good for us. Of course, Patriotic Alternative don't say, well, we want to remove everybody who is not Indigenous British. They say the Indigenous British should remain a supermajority within their country, and they should be responsible for making the laws of the country. And if other people wish to stay in the country and obey those laws, that's fair enough. But they should not have a say in making those laws. And of course, you're going to have, you're always going to have capital cities which have need to have people from other races, other ethnicities there, simply because you have these big companies, you have traders, you have merchants. And I think throughout history, capital cities have always had communities, different ethnic communities living within them. But they, I don't think they ever said, well, we should have a say in how the laws of this country are made. People would have said, well, what gives you the right to say that you should have a say in the laws of this country? That this is the country that has been built by this other ethnicity here, and you are here as a guest. And I don't think people would have said, well, we deserve to start making the laws in this country, because that would have seen as, you know, why would you even start saying that? Have you not got your own country that you make your own laws in? And if you prefer the laws of your own country and your own countrymen, then you can always go back there to that country. It just seems so simple to me, the way that things should function and the way that society should be organized in tune with the natural order. And I think the majority of people instinctively know that, but we've all been programmed to see standing up for our own interests as somehow being racist. Yet what we see here is that everybody in Britain wants to stand up for British interests. Every one of these constituencies is saying that immigration is too high and it needs to be brought down. Labour has pretended unconvincingly in the past to want to control immigration, but it has now largely abandoned even that pretense that it would try to decrease it, and none of the other left parties are interested in representing the pro-borders majority either. And remember, the majority of people that support these left-wing parties, they all want immigration to be brought down. Interesting, Labour are now claiming to be patriotic. Keir Starmer is now claiming to be patriotic, and he's claiming that the Labour Party are the party of patriotism, which means loving your country. And if you love your country, you want to have borders. You want to protect it. You don't want to have masses of immigration into the country, which will end up changing the country. Because as we see, all these different ethnic groups, they all have their own different culture. We didn't all develop exactly the same culture around the world. And that means when you have large numbers of these people that come into your country that you're supposedly love because you're a patriot, then they're going to change that country to make it reflect their culture. And this is what we see. We see mosques popping up in areas that have a large majority of Muslims. And of course, that's just what they're naturally going to do, isn't it? They're naturally going to create the culture that represents them and represents their people. But it means that the country ends up changing. So if you're a patriot, you are going to want your country to remain how it is. You're not going to want it to change. And the quickest way to change it is to have mass immigration. So for Labour to claim that they are a patriotic party and yet at the same time to not want borders and to keep increasing immigration, well, that means that they don't understand what the word patriot means, doesn't it? It means that Keir Starmer is very cynically trying to appeal to these patriots that there clearly are within the Labour Party, because the majority of them don't want immigration. And he thinks that all he has to do is say he's a patriot, but he doesn't actually have to put in any patriotic policies. Britain's governing Conservative Party, meanwhile, have a now infamous record of promising one thing and delivering the opposite on immigration, promising to reduce net immigration from the hundreds of thousands to the tens of thousands ahead of the 2010, 2015 and 2017 general elections. And in fact, it wasn't saying we'll reduce it from the hundreds of thousands to the tens of thousands. David Cameron promised in 2010 that he would get immigration down to just 10,000. And think today, they're giving out 1 million visas is what Boris Johnson gave out last year. And as if this is as if a net influx of 99,000 a year would still not be very high, historically speaking. But the Conservative Party never came remotely close to delivering on these manifesto pledges. Interesting that David Cameron says he'll get it down to 10,000. And then they say, oh, no, it was just tens of thousands, meaning could go up to 99,000. George Osborne, former second in command to the aforesaid David Cameron, who governed from 2010 to 2016, essentially boasted in 2017 that this was because, in fact, the party's senior figures never agreed with their activists and voters on the need to reduce immigration, and actively decided to break the tens of thousands promise, although they kept making it, and this was in their private deliberations. So they admitted that they think that their supporters are just idiots and they don't really know what they want, and they're just going to go back on their promise, their campaign promise, their manifesto promise to reduce immigration. They were just going to break it all the time anyway. Boris Johnson, despite his wholly unjustifiable image among both fans and foes as a hard right populist who would deliver on the Brexit manifesto, taking back control of Britain's borders, instantly dropped the pledge altogether for the 2019 general election, although he did pledge a rather vague overall reduction in immigration, a lowered bar which he still was unable to clear, with the country seeing net legal immigration hit a record-breaking 504,000 in the year that he left office. And of course, calling it net immigration, that's another way of massaging the figures. They sort of say, well, how many people left the country, how many people came in, we'll subtract the number that left the country from this figure that came in, and then we'll come out with a net legal immigration number. And of course, they're not going to be including the children in that. I mean, that could just be the families that they are looking at. As we said, they gave out 1 million visas, and they were family visas. So that could be 3 million people, 4 million people that came into the country. We just don't know. Current Tory leader Rishi Sunak signalled almost openly that he too has no intention of reducing immigration, indicating to an audience at the CBI, a trade body representing the companies most hungry for cheap foreign labour to operate in Britain, that he believes the public can be persuaded to go along with the status quo on mass legal immigration if he can be seen to at least be appearing to do something about the much smaller but also completely out of control issue of illegal immigration. And of course, that's the one that gets highlighted all the time in the newspapers, is the illegal immigration. And when people protest against that, the journalists try to claim that immigrants are being targeted. They aren't being targeted. It's the government's policy that is being targeted. It's the people in government. It's the representatives in government that are causing these problems. They're the ones causing the problems, not the migrants themselves. It's the people bringing the migrants in, because they know that these migrants are going to cause problems. They know what the sort of problems are that they have in their home countries, and yet the politicians still bring them in. Brexit champion Nigel Farage, who has retired from frontline politics but still serves as honorary president of the Reform Party, has warned that the consequences of trying to take immigration off the political agenda, despite the persistent gulf between the people and the political class on the issue, will be huge, a prediction the new polling on national feeling on immigration appears to underline. But unless we can get the Electoral Commission to start allowing parties that are against immigration, clearly the mainstream parties are just going to ignore what the public are saying. So I do find this interesting that effectively Patriotic Alternative have the support of the country for the policies that Patriotic Alternative are trying to put in place, that we draw attention to, the policy of reducing immigration, legal immigration, as well as illegal immigration. And the mainstream parties and their position is not supported by the population, and that's right-wing parties as well as left-wing parties. And I am particularly pleased to see how patriotic the Welsh are. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.